find my subject there in verse 21. Job 22:21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Acquaint now thyself with him. Now the person here doing the speaking is Eliphaz. He is one of Job's three friends. And he's talking to Job. And he's also talking to us. And it's as true today as it was then. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Remember our Lord says, you know, when I was preaching on asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking it should be opened. And then our Lord uses an illustration what we would, being evil, what we would do for our children. We'd never give them a serpent. Never give them a stone. We'd want what's the very best for them. And God says, ask of me, and I shall give thee good things. Good things. And that's what he's saying here. Good shall come unto thee through your acquaintance with God. And what it says here, acquaint now thyself with him. And it says there in the margin, that is God. Acquaint now thyself. That's what it says in my margin of my Bible. And first of all, we see here a great, great need. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Now, acquaintanceship here means more than just a passing knowledge. Just a passing knowledge. It means more than a theoretical knowledge. A presumed knowledge. Just presuming that I know God. Believing that there is a God. It's more than just a passing knowledge. Well, I know that God's eternal. I know He's your creator. And it's more, much more than that. It means to actually know God. To know God. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God. Know Thee. When we say we know God, that means we have more than just a passing acquaintance with Him. We know Him. We find rest in Him. We enjoy Him. We love everything that there is about Him. There's no part of Him that we do not dislike. Every part about Him. His nature, His character, His attributes, His personality, His Word. Everything that we know about God, we delight in and rejoice in. And that's what it means. It seems to know God. I know God. How can you know God? Well, if you know Him, you know you know Him. That's all I say. You know that you know Him. And oh, beloved, it means to enjoy the Lord. That's what it means. There's people that you enjoy being with. And this God is who we enjoy to be with. We actually talk to Him and enjoy Him and speak to Him. And we talk to Him in the language that He puts in our hearts. You know, Thou, O God, inhabitest eternity. How does somebody inhabit? Me and you cannot, I occupy a very small space here right now. And this is the only place I can occupy at any one given time where I'm at. God, it occupies all eternity. The heavens of heavens cannot contain Him. He measures the waters in the hollow of His hands. He declares the things that are going to end before they ever start. And He does all of His good pleasure. And we know He's holy. And we say, oh God, you that dwell in the beauty of holiness. And we know He's righteous. And we bless Him for His righteousness. We bless Him for His faithfulness. Mary and I talked about it this morning, how faithful He has been to us. How faithful He's carried us through so much. And as I watch other people, how faithful God is to carry people through things. So that's what I talk about. We know Him. Great is thy faithful. We know Him. And that's what it means here. Acquaint now thyself with Him. Say, I want to know you. Let me know you. Let me enjoy you. Make yourself known to me. And then watch this, what it says. Be at peace. Be at peace. Peace is a hard thing to come by, peace with God. Preachers all the time say, make your peace with God. Well, when we cannot make peace with God. Sin separated all from God through Adam. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Sin is what we are. Sins are what we do. And so if we're going to be at peace, it must come not by walking an aisle, not by making a decision. It must come through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished. Now you keep Job and look with me over in Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see this in Colossians. I enjoy peace. You know, when we talk about when you're acquainted with Him, one of the first things you'll want is peace. Peace, and when you have peace with God, the carnal mind is enmity. That means it don't have peace with God. And God is angry with the wicked every day. So there's this anger on God's side, and there's this anger on our side. There's this enmity in our heart, and there's this hatred and this anger and this purity of heart and eyes that God cannot have anything to do with sin. So how in the world are we going to be reconciled to where God's anger is done away with and the enmity in our heart is done away with and we actually have peace with God? God's not angry with us and we're not angry with Him. There's peace brought between us. How can that happen? You can't make peace. You can't walk this aisle and make peace with God. You can't make a decision make peace with God. There's something in us, beloved, that will not take God as He is until He makes establish this thing of peace. There's got to be peace between God. It's a war in factions. You know, I tell you, this I know it's not happened in decades. But, beloved, in the Civil War, nothing but unconditional surrender was the only way there's going to be peace and war is going to be ended. In World War II, the only way in the world that there was World War II ended was unconditional surrender. And the only way there's going to be peace and war between you and God is unconditional surrender on your part after the blood of Christ has cleansed you from your sin. Now look here in Colossians 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of who God is. All the fullness of salvation. All the fullness of righteousness. And having made peace. Now watch this. Through the blood of His cross.
Amen.
Having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through His death. Through His sacrifice. Through His sin offering. And oh beloved, God made Him to be sin. Who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. By Him God reconciled the world unto Himself, not imputing their sins unto them. Now watch this. And through Him making peace, He appeased the anger of God. God's anger has been taken away by the blood of Christ and His death on the cross. And He done this to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they're things in heaven or things in earth. Now watch this. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have you reconciled. Oh, the peace has been made. He says, now come to me. Come, the peace has been established. Now you come. Now watch this. And He done it in the body of His flesh through death. And this is what happens. Because He made peace with God. And because He reconciled us to God to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Oh, that's what it means. Be at peace with God. Now back over in our text. God can only be known. When we talk about knowing God, having acquaintance with God. God can only be known through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it says it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell. If you know God and acquainted with God and see God and have fellowship with God, the only place to do that is through His Son. Huh? The Father says, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me. You that are heavy laden, You that are burdened, you come to me, and I'll give you rest. And you see, he's the one who made peace through the blood of his cross. He's the one who reconciled us to God. He's the only one by which we can know. Our Lord says, no man comes unto the Father but out by me. By me. And oh, beloved, he was God manifest in the flesh. And there Psalm 2:12 says this, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with him. Huh? Let's go kiss him. Somebody's angry at you, you go kiss them. Hug them up real close and kiss them. That anger will just melt away. And that's what God's saying. You come to Christ, kiss the Son, and the anger just melts away. The anger's gone. Huh? And oh, back over here in Job 22. Let me show you something about knowing God, acquaintance with God. Be at peace with Him. God is perfectly independent. And this is something hard for us to grasp. We as men add absolutely nothing to Him. And we as men take nothing from Him. Look what it says up there in verse 2. Job 22. Can a man be profitable unto God? As he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Huh? What does it say? Can a man be profitable unto God? What are we going to add to God? What profit can we give to God when the earth is His in the fullness thereof, the cattle on 1,000 years? When He created the world and everything that in it, He sustains it by the upholding of His own hand. What in the world can we be profitable to Him? What can we give Him that will make Him better than He is? Make Him wealthier than He is. Make Him holier than He is. More righteous than He is. More rich in grace than He is. More faithful than He is. More long-suffering than He is. More gracious than He is. More merciful than He is. More powerful than He is. What have we got? Man's character does not affect Him. That's what it means when He's no respecter of persons. That's what it means. The only character that God ever looked at. The only man God ever looked at in character and in person and says He pleases me. That's His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our sin, look what it says in verse 3. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you're righteous? Or is it gain to Him that thou makest thy ways perfect? What He's saying is if you say, I'm a righteous man, I walk uprightly and I walk perfectly. God said, is that any pleasure to the Almighty? Does it please Him when we say that? No. Our sin does not lessen His peace, does not lessen His power, does not lessen His joy, does not lessen His person. And any righteousness, any virtue, any morality, any works that we do cannot add to His blessedness.
No, sir.
No. What can we bring to Him that He would take and find pleasure in? And what can we do that would cause Him to turn from us and say, I have no pleasure in? God is independent. And so we need Him. He does not need us. He does not need our wills. He does not need our words. He does not need our strength. He does not need our righteousness. He does not need our hearts. He does not need our minds. We need Him. We need His strength. We need a new heart. We need a new mind. We need His righteousness. We need His grace. We need everything that we has, that He has, because we absolutely have nothing. Ain't that what our Lord says? Without me, you can do nothing. How many preachers you hear telling people that? God's in a wheelchair by most preachers' standards. He can't do anything without you. He ain't got no money but your money. He ain't got no strength but your strength. No hand but your hand. But oh, here he says, what have you got that you don't give to him? God is eternal. He is pure. He is blessed. And he's unaffected by the good or the bad in us. We have no effect on him. Look over here in Job. You keep Job 22 and look in Job 35 just a moment. And that's why we cast our... This is what it means. Acquaint yourself with it. If this is where he is, oh, I need him. I've got to come to him. He's got everything. I have nothing. Look in Job 35 and verse 6. If thou sinnest against him, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? It ain't going to change him. It ain't going to change him. It ain't going to change your sin's not going to change his holiness. Your sin's not going to change his justice. His sin's not going to change his righteousness. He's going to deal with you as you are. Not like you think you are. Now watch what else said. If thou be righteous, what are you going to give to him? Or what's he going to receive of your hand? That's what he says. Whether you're unconverted or whether you're converted. Whether you're righteous or whether you're living in your sins. God is God. You know how many people goes into eternity? I woke up last night, and this is an awful thing to think about. Thought about my mother. Thought about my dad. Thought about my uncles that I used to live with. They died within a month or 6 weeks of one another. Thought about all my family. And not one of them died with a hope. Not one of them died with a hope. They had no hope whatsoever. None. God wasn't in their thoughts. God wasn't in their thoughts. And that's what I'm telling you. But did that change God? And then look at all the folks who went into eternity that does know God. Is their righteousness going to change him when they get to glory? That's what Job's saying here. He is unaffected by us. We need him. We desperately need him. That's why Job says, acquaint now thyself with him. Be at peace. Huh? That's why Paul said when he stood on Mars Hill, and they had all these great big temples, and had all these big idols, and he says, oh, listen to me. God does not dwell in these houses made with hands, in these temples. He does not dwell in them. He said he needeth nothing. He's not worshipped with the works of men's hands with silver and gold. He dwells in heaven. Oh, no one is necessary for carrying out his purpose. He can do without us. He can do without us. But I certainly can't do without him. Ain't that right? We can do without an awful lot in this world, but we can't do without him. And that's what he says, and that's why God, look what it says back over here in Job 22 in verse 4. Look what it says. You see, God does not explain himself to any man either. He says there in verse 4, will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter in with thee into judgment? Will he sit down and argue with you and debate with you? Explain himself to you for what you're doing? No. Acquaint now thyself with him. How? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look. So there's a great need. Acquaint now yourself with him. Look what it says now down here in verse 22 and 23. The way is made plain for us. The way is made plain. He says in verse 22, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up thy words in his heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be filled up and shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. And what he's saying is, the way is plain, receive thy law, thy word. Now, Job's not talking about Ten Commandments. The book of Job's the oldest book in the Scripture. He was before Abraham. He was, I mean, this is the oldest. And here's Job is. And he's saying, take his word. Take his law. Take his word from his mouth. From his word. This is God's message. You know, if God came back and he spoke again, he would say no more than what this is. If our Lord Jesus Christ came here this morning, he would say exactly everything he said in his blessed word.
Amen.
And that's what he says here. Take God's word. Take his word. Take it from his mouth and lay his words up in your heart. Lay them up in your heart. Lay them right up in here. I was talking to Joseph the other day, and I've talked to a lot of people about this. Preachers especially, they ought to just be saturated with the Word. They ought to live in the Word. And we all ought to have the Word so hid in our hearts that we think in scriptural terms. We think scripturally. Whenever we're in any given situation, scriptures come to our mind. We answer problems with scripture. And that's what it means about, you know, when we're in a situation, we go to the scriptures. When we're in trial, we go to the scriptures. When we're in need, we go to the scriptures. And when we see things going on in the world, people ask us questions, we go to the scriptures. We have no place else to go. And that's what he said, take my word from my mouth. Christ says, and that's his word from his mouth. If any man's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Oh, what a word. Receive his word. Listen to what he says. Take it into your heart. You keep Job. I want you to look at two things with me. Look with me, first of all, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You keep Job now. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to see this. This is what it talks about, receiving the word. You know, Paul told Timothy while you're turning. He said, Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures from a child. The Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And he says, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And is profitable for righteousness, for correction, for instruction, for reproof. And now look what it says here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Talking about receive his word. See, that's the word. It's the word of God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe what God said. I'm going to take it and put it in my heart. I want it in my heart. For this cause also we thank God. With this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you're going to hear the word of God through a man. You received it not as the word of men. It wasn't what the preacher said. It wasn't what the pastor said. It wasn't what some prophet said. But you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. The word of God. Now watch what the word of God does. Which effectually worketh also in you which believe. Whenever this word of God comes, it works effectually in people. It changes people. It enlightens people. It corrects people. It brings faith with it. It works in you effectually. And let me show you one other verse in John chapter 8 and verse 37. John 8:37. I want you to see this. I could quote these verses, but I want you to see them for yourself. John 8:37. Talking about, he says, the way is made plain. Receive the word. Receive the law in his mouth. And store it up in your heart. Lay it up in your heart. Our Lord told the Pharisees here, he says in verse 37, John chapter 8, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. And why do you do it? Because my word hath no place in you. There's not room in your heart for my word. There can't be room for hatred in the word of God. There can't be room for self-righteousness in the word of God. There can't be room for self-confidence in the Word of God. Can't be. Can't be. And that's what our Lord said. And then look back over in Job 22 with me. Let me show you. Not only receive the Word and lay these words up in your heart. And see, it says receive them from His mouth. God speaking to me. How many times have you come to services? I don't know how many people say to me, boy, that message was just for me today. That God spoke to me today. That's what they took it from His mouth. And that's what He means here now. Watch what He says. And return. If thou return to the Almighty, come to God, then you shall be built up. Huh? Oh, when He says return, you know in the Scriptures, whenever they would go to a king who had power to kill them, they'd put a rope around their neck, showing that they deserved to be hanged, showing that they deserved death. And they would go up there and say, we'll go with the rope around our neck, and perhaps He'll have mercy on us. And that's what put the rope around your neck. He'd come to the Lord. He had mercy on you. He'll say, take that rope off. I don't want you. I'll take that rope off. And all He'll take it off for you. But all return to Him in humility. Turn to Him with repentance. He never turned from you. You turned from Him. And so return to thy Creator. Return to thy Maker. Return to the God that made you. Return to the God that can save you. To return to Him is to put away, much what it says, is to put away iniquity from thy tabernacle. To put iniquity far from thy tabernacle. That means, beloved, you want to be done with sin. You don't want sin in you. You don't want sin in your home. You don't want sin. And all He says, as Israel put the leaven out of their houses in the Passover, sin and lawlessness have to go. And I tell you something, when you're acquainted with God, you want it to go. You want it to go. And listen, Christ came to put away sin. This way sin's put away. Christ came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And then look what it says in the last part there in verse 23. If you return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Built up. What does that mean? God's going to start all over with you. He's going to start from the ground and make you over. Oh my. He didn't say you're going to be rebuilt. He's going to build you up. God must make a man a new creature. Man cannot build himself. Sin broke down everything that's about him. And man can't build himself, can't rebuild himself, can't reform himself. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's what? The gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And that's what, there's no other foundation to be laid than Christ Jesus. God builds us on Christ. He strips us down, and when He starts building, He lays us on the foundation which is Christ and builds us up in Him. Look at the results of their acquaintance with Him here in verse 25. Look at the results. Oh, when you become acquainted with Him. For verse 25. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Oh, my. God's going to be your defense? What do we need defense from? Well, we need defense from a lot of things. We need defense from sin. Self-righteousness, need defense from the world, need defense from our own self-deceptions. We need defense from our unbelief. We need defense from the devil. We need defense from our flesh. And oh, the Almighty shall be thy defense. And then look what it says. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. And back up there in verse 25:4 it says, thou shalt lay up gold. Of Ophir. Stones is like look. Lay them up as gold in the dust. To just be like stones. What that means is that in Christ, in knowing God, we have all the treasures that we can possibly have. Huh? That's what it means.
He's not talking about real gold and real silver here. That's symbolic, that's spiritual. Those are symbols that you'll have all this wealth. Christ is called the gold of Ophir. Over in Isaiah, there's a man who shall be the gold of Ophir, and that's the purest gold they are. And also Christ, he says, what you'll have, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And Christ is all in all. And so, beloved, what he's saying is that you'll have treasure, you'll have gold, you'll have silver. Now we have true riches. True riches. All things are truly worthless compared to him. What do we have in this world compared to our Christ? What do we have compared to Christ? People say, well, if I could, you know, they're not satisfied. Material things cannot meet the needs of an immaterial soul. This soul is what's going to live on. This body's going to the dust.
Amen.
And when we're filled with His fullness, and that's why material things can never satisfy. People say, well, if I can just get that, that's all, then I'll be satisfied. If I can just get this kind of a house, if I can just get that, if I can just have this certain amount of money, I'll be satisfied. If I could just get that job, I'd be satisfied. And that's what they say. They're looking for material things to satisfy. Material things won't never do it. Never has and never will. It's not meant to. Material things come and material things go. But Christ never goes once He ever comes. And we have true riches in Him. Let men have things if they want them. We have God. Let men glory in things. We have Christ. Paul says we have this treasure of grace, this treasure of Christ, this treasure of gold, this treasure of silver, in earthen vessels. And oh, how many things does it talk about Christ being rich? He's rich in grace. Look how much grace He gives out every day to all of His elect over all of this world. And how He started with Adam in the garden. He'd been giving out grace for centuries.
Amen.
To multitudes that no man can number. He's as rich in it today as He was the first day He gave.
Amen.
He started giving it to us in eternity. Gave us grace in Christ before the world ever began. And oh, what about the riches of His glory? The glory of His inheritance. Oh my, people are going to have inheritances. A lot of inheritance. People have trust funds and they give them $2 or $3 million every couple of years and they have these big mansions and they have all these things and they have this, oh, look at the glory of my inheritance. Look how rich it is. Christ says, you want to see an inheritance? You want to see the rich inheritance and the glory of a rich inheritance? Look at my inheritance that I give you. Men are storing up gold down here and he said, we're going to walk on it when we get in glory. It's going to be straight. We walked on dust roads and dirt roads and gravel roads. In fact, we've arrived when we get new carpet in the house. Good wood floors, but we get the glory, we're going to walk on gold. That's what God says I'll put to my children. They'll walk on it.
Yeah.
You like pearls? He says, when you come through that gate will be nothing but purest pearl. Then there's the unsearchable riches of Christ. But the other side of that is the deceitfulness of riches. You know why riches is deceitful? Can never, ever give you what it promised. Never give you what it promises. And then look down with me here in verse 26, and I'll hurry. Verse 26. Oh, not only will you have gold as dust, the gold of Ophir is the stones of the brook, God Almighty will be your defense when you come to Him. And you'll have plenty of silver. You'll be wealthy in Christ. And then watch what happens. That'd be such great delight, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty.
Yeah.
Then you'll have your delight. Oh, there's your delight. There's your enjoyment. Then shalt thou have thy delight. We joy in God. We rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what's so blessed about it. We enjoy God for Himself. We desire for Himself. We love to have His presence. And look what it says then. And then look what it says. Not only will you greatly delight in Him, but thou shalt lift up thy face unto God. You know what that means? You'll have confidence to lift up your face to Him. You know, there was a time we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. There was no beauty about Him that we desired Him. Now we delight in Him and we lift up our... We have boldness. We have access. We have confidence. We come lift up our face to Him. Huh? Oh, my. Oh, we'll lift up our face. There was a time. And now, beloved, we come and we lift up. We look up to the Lord. We say, oh, Lord. We look up to Him in faith. We look up to Him. We go to Him face to face. We go up to Him and with confidence and boldness. I have access through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, beloved, we used to go like this. Now we come with an open face beholding Him. And that's why John says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And then look what it says in verse 27. Then you'll have answered prayer too. Answered prayer too. Ain't that what it says? Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him. Oh my. And listen, He shall hear you. He'll hear you. Not only will you speak to Him, but He'll listen. I don't know how many husbands in this place this morning, their wives tell them, says, you never hear what I say. You just don't hear. You just, I told you, you don't listen to me. What did I just say? You said something. But now when God listens, we speak to Him. He listens. He listens. God's ear turned to us to hear us when we speak. We know that He heareth us when we ask according to His will. And Lord, we come in Jesus' holy, blessed, glorious name. Look what else happens. We'll not only have answered prayer, but we'll have a fruitful testimony. It says in verse 28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. What does that mean? That a man's word will become his bond. You'll decree a thing. You'll say, this is what I'll do. This is what I'll do. And God says He'll prosper in that. Your words will be established. That you'll speak and you'll be so honest and you'll be so true to God and so committed to God that when that what man's word become his bond, and God says He'll prosper. And this is why His way will be established. Because He'll begin to speak according to thus saith the Lord. He won't say what I say. He'll say thus saith the Lord. And then look what it says in verse 28, last part. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. God said, I'll cause the light to shine on you. Here we were, we was in darkness. Now the light of God directs our ways. The Word of God, the light, directs our ways. Huh? The light shall shine upon... No more walking in darkness. No more walking in darkness. Walking in the light, even as He is in the light. And I know at times it appears dark. It appears dark, but His light is ever on His people. His light is always guiding us into truth. His light lightens our mind, and His light lightens our heart. No wonder David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? He leadeth me. He leadeth me. And then last of all, let me show you this. Will be made useful to others. It says in verse 29, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there's lifting up. There's lifting up. We got something to say. We got some words of encouragement, some words of light, some words of comfort. Tell people where they can find help when they are cast down. A dear preacher friend of mine called this morning. The only reason he called was to say, I was thinking of you today and pray the Lord bless you. Just called to say that. less than a minute. That's all I want to say. Thinking of you today. Oh my. Something more. Oh, there's a lifting up. We tell folks where there is a lifting up. And Lord, we'll tell them where they can be saved, and He shall save the humble person. Something must be done for us before we can do anything for anybody else.
That's right.
And we got something to say to that person whose eyes are cast low. Not many can be helped today, but for some, there's a lifting up. And we who know God, are the only ones who can truly, truly lift up somebody else. Say something to help. Oh, precious, precious Father. Blessed, blessed Savior. How wondrously gracious and kind You are. How merciful You are to us to let us have Your Word to speak to us. And Lord, indeed, enable us to receive the Word from Your mouth and lay it up in our hearts. God bless this message to hearts today. Bless it to the understanding. I pray it was encouraging and enlightening and strengthening and instructive. And we know it will be if You're pleased to bless it to the heart and the mind. We bless You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.